Well, you know, for one brief day last week, the world was sobered, mesmerized, actually, by the emotional funeral for Queen Elizabeth. One American that was viewing the procession was interviewed by Sky News, and he mentioned that standing next to him were two really large, burly men that had, you know, tattoos on their arms, really strong men, and he said they broke down. They cried when the hearse passed by. And he said it really got to him to see how many there in Britain, no matter who they were, had such an attachment to the Queen. Hundreds, millions shed tears. It's been estimated that somewhere around 4 billion people watched this on the news. What got me the most was when the crown and that orb and the staff were taken off of the casket, and then the Lord Chamberlain broke his staff, which signified the end of his responsibility for Queen Elizabeth, and then placed it on the casket. And for the first time ever to see it being broadcast as the casket went down beneath the floor. It was moving. It really got to me and got to a lot of people for sure. Now I was watching and I was noticing all the crowds of people and couldn't help but hope that people, all those people, would repent and be spared the coming troubles. Yet after those brief hours, the world went back to its selfish and harmful ways. And it's very clear that the only way to lasting peace will come by the return of Jesus Christ. Before that time comes, let's notice this prophecy in Daniel 7, verse 25. Daniel 7, verse 25. And he, this is referring to the fourth beast, shall speak pompous words against the Most High, referring to the beast, and of course we know at the end, we know this is the beast speaking against the Most High and will persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. And the saints shall be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. The Hebrew word for persecute here can literally be interpreted as afflicted or wear out the saints. Now we know this is future, but at times, even now, we can feel persecuted, we could feel worn down by the attitudes surrounding us in the world. It can be mentally exhausting. Here in the United States, of course, we are a very blessed people, materially. The advantages we've had in technology and even travel and healthcare and its overall ability to provide for ourselves, we have allowed, as a people, a richness, or God has allowed us as a richness that's unprecedented in world history. But by the same token, we are reaping some very bad results of forgetting who gave us those blessings in the first place. I don't believe any of us are looking forward to Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a very difficult time. All those people watching the funeral were moved by the example set by Queen Elizabeth. And they, unfortunately, like we do, have to continue living in a world that is deceived by the devil and by his misdirection. And so when God does intervene, Jesus Christ is going to return at the seventh trump. And that's what the Day of Trumpets symbolizes that we will be observing this coming Monday. Notice verse 27. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. To the saints of the Most High. Now this is definite. The word there, shall be given, is an absolute definite statement. It does not mean maybe. It does not mean a possibility, but it shall be given. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So in both of these verses, verse 25 and verse 27, we see a group of people called the saints. First, they're going to be persecuted. And then we see they will be given the kingdoms under heaven. So as we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets this coming Monday, let's look at what is prophesied to take place for the saints. And so the title of the sermon is "The Saints Will Be with Christ." So let's get some background here. And we go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Could leave a bookmark in that particular chapter as we'll come back to it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So who are the dead in Christ who will be resurrected? The voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Who are the dead in Christ? Let's go back to chapter 3, and let's look at verse 12. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our Father, God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. With all of his saints, the dead in Christ are one and the same. So who are the saints? We see a couple of verses that tell us a little bit more who they are. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Notice these descriptions here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And we just heard about the need to honor the name of God and not to take the name of God in vain. We call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But they're called to be saints. The members in the church are saints. There are a couple of other references I won't turn to, but let me just give you them. There's one in Romans 1, verse 7 that says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So the saints are loved by God, beloved of God. There's one other one in Ephesians 1, verse 1, that says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Jesus Christ. They are faithful in Christ. So when you put the scriptures together, these in particular, the saints are the members of the church, They're sanctified, meaning they're set apart. They are loved by God, and they are faithful in Christ. And according to the Greek, when you look at the word for saints in the Greek, it means holy or the holy ones. So God refers to us within his church as saints. And that applied term carries responsibilities, even now. And so we look at a couple of those current responsibilities that we all have been given. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The patience of the saints. That is a characteristic of the saints. How long have we been waiting for the kingdom of God to come? When I was growing up in the church, we came in the late 50s and early 60s. And well, we don't have too long because Christ is going to come. Christ is going to come. And of course, when he didn't in 1972 and 1975, some got disillusioned. And then so over the years, that's 30, 40, 50 years, people have been waiting, patiently waiting for the time that Jesus Christ will return. So the saints are to be patient, no matter how long it will be before Christ returns. And some have been waiting a long time. Even from the time that the saints were alive, during the time of the apostles, they waited and waited. The promise is still there. It will come. But the patience of the saints. And we see something else. Those who keep the commandments of God. In our patience, there are two other things. The keeping of the commandments of God, which includes the third commandment, which we heard in very detail today. And we have the faith of Jesus. So we have the law, the commandments, but we also have the grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus in us. It says the faith of Jesus. That is within us. That has been put within us through the Holy Spirit. So it is by the Holy Spirit that we keep the law, and knowing that we are not saved by the law, it won't save us, but we're saved by Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ set us an example that we follow the law, just as he followed the law of God. So we believe in him, we believe on him. And his faith is not only in us, we have faith in him. And it's all combined together. The fact that we do keep the commandments, and we realize that yes, though it is by Jesus Christ that we're saved. And we need that closeness to God and Jesus Christ. So that's one responsibility. Let's look at a couple of others in Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 9. I'm going to read through a couple of things here. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. So we're to share our love toward others. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We need to do that even more. Sometimes if we're not careful, we could become judgmental. And we need to, in honor, giving preference to one another. It's all humility. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. As it says, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient. There we see patience once again. Patience in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. So we don't stop praying. We're going to have problems in life, but we're told to be patient. The patience of the saints, as we saw. And then in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We have an empathy with one another. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be wise in your own opinion. That's the way it is today in the world around us. Everybody's opinion is their opinion and should be followed by everybody else. So we have to be very careful what we do in our life now. And that includes 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 3. It's somewhat of an astonishing statement that is brought out here. The only place I can find where this is stated in the way it is. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? So when a matter comes up between us as members, what they were doing there in Corinth was taking that matter and going to court to get it settled. And he said, why don't you kind of work this out among yourselves? Can you work this out among yourselves? It's a question. Why do you do this? And then he goes on to say, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Not only are we prophesied to be kings and priests, we're going to judge in the future. If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Because if you think about it, this life is temporary. And sometimes small matters could be made into a mountain, and a molehill be made into a mountain. Can we judge the smallest matters? And then this statement, do you not know that we shall judge angels? Now, exactly what does that mean? I don't know. It's not further explained. But it's in the context of making judgments, making decisions. And then somehow we will be placed into a position of responsibility, and that responsibility will be to be judging angels. Will this be righteous angels? I don't know. Or will it just be the fallen angels who are demons? Probably more likely that way. We will have to wait and see how that turns out. But we can't forget that statement. Therefore, how much more things that pertain to this life? How much more? This section of Scripture is telling us something as saints. That we need to be trying to work out among ourselves any differences that come up. And there will be differences that come up. They just happen because we're human. We have our ideas, our thoughts, and sometimes inadvertently we could say something that we didn't mean. What is our judgment on a matter? Do we see ways in how something can be solved? and how a problem can be looked at and come to a conclusion. Can members agree to work together to work things out? If we can't learn to do that now, how will we do that with angels? And I believe God is giving us opportunities throughout our time as saints to work things out with one another. Now, God has not left us without wisdom. He has not left us without a sound mind. He has given us hundreds and hundreds of biblical examples of right and wrong. And he has shown us through his word that there are two ways of living. There is the way of get, which the world is following, and there's the way of give, which Jesus Christ and God the Father have shown. I am so thankful God is the way of give. It would be horrible if he had the attitude of Satan. What kind of life would we have? But see, God is not the way of Satan. Satan is the way of his own way and his own life. God is the way of give and concern. And we should be using what we've been taught. There are principles, there are examples. There is humility versus pride. There's the wisdom of God, and that's more important than the so-called worldly wisdom. So notice Colossians 1, verse 26. Colossians 1, verse 26. Colossians 1, verse 26, and notice this. The mystery which has been hidden, and it has been hidden from the world, from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. What has been hidden to the world in general has been revealed to us, his saints. God has given us some understanding that Jesus Christ is within us. Notice verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world does not follow the teachings of Christ. You know, every now and then you'll see a great outpouring of concern and love and admiration, as we saw this past week. But it doesn't last. It's there temporary. But for us, it should last in our lives. The world doesn't understand that. If the world did, we wouldn't be in the mess that it is now. We just wouldn't be. But it rejects. The world rejects that knowledge. It rejects the information that we have received. Now, notice this statement over here in 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Now let's think about this. 1 Peter 1, to them it was revealed, not to themselves, those who spoke and who wrote down the scriptures, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. What are they looking into? What desire are they having here? It is what has been revealed to the saints that angels are looking into. This is fascinating to consider. The angels are watching. They're learning. They're hearing things. And they learn that knowledge as that knowledge increases among the saints. To me, it's an amazing statement. Verse 13, based on that understanding, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's the word for saint. Same word. To be holy. Or holy. To me, looking at this, it helps us realize we have a tremendous responsibility, and God's been very merciful to all of us to give this information that he has. You know, think about this. We are one day, you know, 2 days, I guess, from trumpets. The understanding of that holy day is not known. The Jewish people call it Rosh Hashanah. They don't have an idea of what that really means. And the understanding of what Christ is going to do, what God is going to do by sending forth Jesus Christ is an amazing point of truth, that he will come. So this is where we come to the part of the sermon now in what will happen to the saints. What will happen to the saints at Christ's return? So years ago, an elderly woman who lived almost till she was 100 would often ask me questions about things. And good questions about the Bible. It's amazing. Her mind was sharp, even into her 90s. She was very sharp and understood quite a bit about the Bible. She read the Bible quite a bit. She heard a sermon one time given by another minister. And she challenged what she heard. She said, I don't agree with what this minister said, and I want to know what you think about it. So could you tell me what this really means? Because I disagreed. She said she disagreed with the minister, so I wanted to know what she was disagreeing with. And she said, this scripture over here in Jude. And she said, God, if she wrote me or she told me, but anyway, it was in Jude. Let's look at Jude 14. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all and to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. So that's what she heard. And the minister said, here is a scripture showing one of the first times that this is prophesied about Jesus Christ coming with the saints, meaning church members. And it's very clear what it's saying here, that he's coming with church members, you know, the saints, like we just read who the saints were. So she said, no, I disagree with that. And so I said, well, why do you disagree? What's your disagreement? No, this word should be angels. Okay? That Jesus is coming with 10,000s of his angels to execute judgment. So she said, I believe that minister was wrong by saying this was saints. So how would you answer that? Where would you go? Now, there is a scripture that I believe she based her comment on over here in Revelation 19. Let's look at this, Revelation 19. I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now let's look at verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And he came, he was going to strike the nations, as it says in verse 15. I believe this is where she was getting some things mixed together. Revelation 19 is really talking about the armies in heaven, clothed in linen, and following Jesus Christ on white horses. So Jude is really talking about the saints. Jude is talking about the saints. We see Revelation 19 is referring to angels. So what we have are both angels and saints coming with Jesus Christ. There are many scriptures, as we've seen, concerning the saints. They are human, and they will be changed, as we'll see. But in no place do we find angels being described as saints. There is a difference. So you have the saints, and you have the angels coming with Jesus Christ. Now, what confuses some people is that the Roman Catholic Church has designated Gabriel and Michael as saints. Even though they know they are angels, and their literature states that they are angels, but because Gabriel and Michael are named and that they are holy angels, that they were named saints. So you have Saint Gabriel and Saint Michael. And so some people believe that there's that interchangeability. But that is not what the Bible is referring to. The Bible is referring to the saints, as we've already seen, are those within the church. The angels, on the other hand, are those who are watching and learning what the saints are learning. And yes, they too will come with Jesus Christ, but they will have a responsibility when they come with Christ. Not only will they fight with Christ, but they have another responsibility. Notice this unique difference over here in Revelation 8, verse 1 to 6. Revelation 8, verse 1 to 6. He opened the seventh seal. Silence in heaven for about a half hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. Now, look how this is worded. He had a golden censer. He stood at the altar. He was given much incense, the incense that should be offered, he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. The angel then took the censer filled with the fire from the altar, threw it to the earth, and there were lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had prepared the seven trumps prepared themselves to sound. The Feast of Trumpets is a memorial of trumpets. And we see seven trumpets are going to sound. At the seventh trumpet, we know that Jesus Christ will return. But here is an angel offering up incense along with the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are those on the earth. The angel there is in heaven. He's not referred to as a saint. The incense and the prayers ascend before God from the angel's hand. So you see, again, another difference between saints and angels. So what happens then at the seventh trump? Matthew 24. Let's look at Matthew 24. And verse 29, Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's referring to the heavenly signs. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The elect is a word that can mean the chosen ones, the sanctified ones. We would say the resurrected saints. So the angels come with Jesus Christ, and then they're given the task of going through all, you know, from one corner of the earth to the other. In other words, around the whole world, gathering the saints that are being resurrected from the grave, those who are being changed in the twinkling of an eye, and brought them together before Jesus Christ. That's one of the roles they will have. Remember, we meet Jesus Christ in the air. We arise and we meet him in the air. He's coming from heaven with angels, and we will be gathered to him. Then notice Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two, from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain will be moved toward the north and half toward the south. So he's coming down with the angels. The saints meet with him after the saints are gathered by the angels as he's coming down to the Mount of Olives. And this is going to be fascinating when this time comes. And notice at the end of verse 4, thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. They'll all be together. We'll come with Jesus Christ to the earth. I think I mentioned this once before, that a deacon in another area that we were in had gotten a Google shot of the Mount of Olives from above. And he showed this picture, this photo, of what we will be seeing coming down to the Mount of Olives. Quite fascinating. Very, you know, a photo, a picture is worth 1,000 words. That was had 1,000 words to it. That's for sure. We will come with Jesus Christ to the earth. Let's conclude then in 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's go back now to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain. See, the dead in Christ rise first. They're rising first. And then those of us who are alive will be caught up together with them. So there's this order here that you have the dead in Christ rising, then those of us who are still alive will be changed. And this is all within a twinkling of an eye. It basically is happening at the same time. But the dead in Christ rise first. Then we will be with them and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. There is the proof statement that we as saints will always be with the Lord. Always. And we cannot neglect verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There are rough times, yeah. A lot of us face rough times. A lot of us have some difficulties, and we're entering in some very uncharted territory. And we need to have some comfort. And so we're given comfort. These are comforting words about what will happen to all of us. It will begin at the resurrection, on into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, then forever, into the new heavens and new earth. We will always be with the Lord, and that should be a comfort to us. So yes, even though the world is going in its direction away from God, we have to remain loyal, we have to remain steadfast, we have to remain that way with patience and with hope that all the saints will be with Jesus Christ forever.